Is history repeating itself? Currently, only one president has served a discontinuous term. That man was President Grover Cleveland. His first term was from 1885 to 1889. He lost re-election, and then 4 years later, he ran again and won, serving his final term from 1893 to 1897. Although President Cleveland is the only one to do this, he may soon have to share the title with President Trump. If you're like me, you're probably asking, how did this happen? Are the Trump and Cleveland scenarios similar? Could this more than a century-old hiccup in presidential elections happen once again? Well, if you want to know the future, you better look to the past, because it repeats itself. If you start looking at the similarities, not just in the campaign, economy, and electorate, but also the man himself, you'll be thinking, this is deja vu. In less than 10 minutes, I'm going to compare President Trump and President Cleveland's campaigns, making the case that if history really does repeat itself, Trump just might be president again. Let's start with the personality and character similarities between the two. In other words, who is the man behind the president? First, Trump famously dodged the draft due to bone spurs. Cleveland also avoided serving. When he was drafted for the Civil War, Cleveland hired a substitute to fight in his place. Both men had little to no political experience. First, Trump famously dodged the draft due to bone spurs. Cleveland also avoided serving in the military. When he was drafted for the Civil War, Cleveland hired a substitute to fight in his place. Second, both men had little to no political experience. Trump was a charismatic businessman and celebrity. He had no political background or family political connections. His first time serving in public office was when he became president. Cleveland was similar. He had a little bit more experience than Trump, though. However, for the time, it was considered very limited experience. He went from mayor to governor, then president. Considering how long people normally run for and serve in elected office, this was nothing. If you read about President Cleveland, he is often noted for his meteoric rise in American politics. Third, Trump won the Republican nomination against the establishment. He was the outsider against the party machine, if you will. Cleveland clinched the governor's office in New York without the support of Tammany Hall, a very strong party machine, the establishment of its day. Fourth, Trump has a reputation for firing people, stemming from his reality show, The Apprentice. He tore down establishment figures like Jeb Bush and ripped through neocons and globalists. His message was clear. It was him against everyone else, the fake news, the deep state, the swamp, etc. Now, Cleveland didn't have a tagline like, you're fired, but he did have a reputation for saying no to a lot of things during his administration. He vetoed a lot of bills and was constantly standing up to the party machine. He was loved by the American people for standing firm on his principles. Next, let's look at Trump and Cleveland's electoral history and campaigns, all three of them. The first campaign for both Trump and Cleveland mirror each other. In 2016, after defeating the establishment within his own party, Trump went on to run against and beat Hillary Clinton. The Clintons are an institution, a dynasty, the old guard of the Democratic establishment. He easily defeated her. Cleveland defeated his opponent, Republican James G. Blaine. This guy was a longtime Washington insider, just like Hillary Clinton. And like Trump, this race featured an unlikely match with the most unlikely guy winning. Although a century apart, the divisiveness of Trump and Cleveland are apparent. Trump caught the support of an unlikely crowd, Bernie supporters. They were displeased at how he was treated by the Democratic Party in the Clinton campaign during the 2016 primary. In rebuke of their own party, they refused to vote for Hillary Clinton in the election, and some of them even voted for Trump out of protest. Although Cleveland was a Democrat, he received support from the opposite party as well. There was a reform wing of the Republican Party called mugwumps at the time. Disgusted with their own party and candidate, these Republican mugwumps actually voted for Democrat Grover Cleveland for president. Cleveland's opponent, Blaine, was accused of taking bribe money. Now, we all know the Clintons' history with their foundation and accusations for taking bribes. And although it wouldn't seriously come up until after he was elected president, Joe Biden's family has come under fire for abuse of power and profiting off the White House. Trump beat Clinton. As the rematch begins and Biden's alleged corruption is more out in the open than it was 4 years ago, it might have an even bigger influence than it did in 2020. People don't take kindly to getting rich off the American people. While it was the main reason for Cleveland winning his first term, it may be Trump's key to winning his second. Now, it's important to note how much name-calling affects campaigns. In 2016, Hillary Clinton called Trump supporters deplorables. Take a listen.
You know, to just be grossly generalistic, you could put half of Trump supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
This backfired and was largely seen as improper and insulting and dismissive to the American people. Now, back in 1884, during Cleveland's first presidential campaign, a nasty phrase helped elevate his campaign. His opponent was holding a rally, and a supporter yelled out, "Rum, Romanism, and rebellion." That was an obvious insult to Irish Catholics at the time. Although Blaine didn't say it himself, he didn't distance himself from it either, and it greatly hurt his image. Now, the name-calling didn't end there. Cleveland supporters liked to chant, "Blaine, Blaine, James G. Blaine, the continental liar from the state of Maine." On the other hand, Blaine supporters would highlight allegations of an alleged love child of Cleveland's, saying, "Ma, ma, where's my pa?" In 2016, we saw critics say, "Love Trump's hate, and he will not divide us over Trump." And then Trump supporters would chant, "Lock her up, lock her up." Let's move on to the next election in 1888. What made Cleveland lose? Well, he refused to increase pensions for Civil War veterans. His opponent, Benjamin Harrison, painted Cleveland as showing arrogant displays of presidential power. It worked, because Cleveland lost. With Trump in 2020, Biden did a similar thing, painting Trump as arrogant and incapable of the job of commander-in-chief. Okay, so what happened in that third and final election for Cleveland? What made him win? In 1892, he ran against incumbent Republican President Benjamin Harrison. This time the mood had shifted. Republicans lost a lot of support with minorities. Tariff legislation had made prices go up and wages got cut. Economic woes were the primary concern in that election. So much so that people ushered back in President Grover Cleveland to fix them, 4 years after they voted him out of office. Likewise, Americans have suffered through a 40-year inflation high. Prices everywhere are sky high, wages are stagnant, homes are unaffordable, and people are having to work multiple jobs to survive. Let's not forget that Trump is also doing significantly better with minorities, far more than Republicans are used to, slowly nipping at the heels of the Democratic Party. Now let's focus on their governing styles. Both Cleveland and Trump were very similar in the way they got things done. They were bulls in a china shop. Trump yanked funding from the WHO, ended the Obamacare mandate, reopened drilling, started Space Force, enacted the First Step Act, which is one of the biggest pieces of criminal justice reform in decades. Trump even tried to buy Greenland. Cleveland was bold, too. He nullified fraudulent grants forced upon him, vetoed hundreds of pension bills, rejected wasteful and corrupt measures. In short, neither man was about the status quo. Now for the fun part. Trump and Cleveland were some dirty boys. They had their fair share of female problems. Right now, Trump is embroiled in a hush money trial with a porn star, had a love child with his mistress while married to his first wife, and the list goes on and on. Trump was also accused of rape by E. Jean Carroll and found civilly liable for sexual abuse and defamation. Believe what you want, but Trump goes through women like it's a sport. The campaign tried to say the woman was loose with all the boys in his circle of friends, and he was just helping her out when he assisted in raising the child. The media picked up the story and then asserted that he raped the woman. Regardless of what happened, women are the Achilles heel of these two men. On a much lighter side note, Cleveland married a woman 30 years younger than him, and Trump married Melania, who's nearly 30 years younger than him as well. While the media makes vicious claims about their marriage today, the same was true with Cleveland. The media helped prop up rumors asserting that Cleveland would beat his wife during drunken rages. You think it's bad now when they show Melania swatting at Donald's hand? Yeah, in the day they accused people of being wife beaters. Even Trump and Cleveland's wives were pretty similar. Frances was glamorous and popular. She was the youngest first lady, the first one to marry a president while he was in office, and the first woman to give birth in the White House. Cleveland was adamant that, quote, a woman should not bother her head about political parties and public questions. And his wife Frances seemed to be fine with that. She was active in her role as First Lady, but never in anything super partisan or political. Likewise, Melania tried to stay out of the partisan fray. She went to events and had a First Lady cause, but that's about it. Seems like Trump and Cleveland definitely like their women seen and not heard. In conclusion, two things kept coming up when researching President Grover Cleveland. He was popular, and few, if any, could challenge him effectively. If that doesn't describe President Trump, then I don't know what does. Mark your calendar for July 25th through 27th. Ladies Love Politics will be attending the Bitcoin 2024 conference. Join me online as I cover the event, or grab a ticket and see for yourself the wonderful world of Bitcoin. Ladies Love Politics is a proud media partner of Bitcoin 2024. In the meantime, be sure to follow the Ladies Love Politics channel on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram.